to another edition of the Screen Nerds Podcast. My name's Michael Bergen, and thanks for joining me for this quick screen episode of The Boy and the Heron. Brand new film, just out in theaters, checked it out, and wanted to share some of my thoughts with you on the film. Now, the film is the latest from the acclaimed writer and director from Japan, Hayao Miyazaki, and it tells the story of a young boy named Mahito, whose mother, during World War II, dies in a fire at a hospital, and he and his father and his aunt, now stepmom, move to the countryside because Mahito's father is the leader of a factory there, and they go to live in an estate that is in Mahito's family for generations. And during this time, he encounters a gray heron, hence the heron in The Boy and the Heron. And this heron, this gray heron, leads Mahito into this seemingly fantastical world to, in essence, rescue Mahito's now stepmom. And really, that's the premise of the film. It is a very interesting and fantastical film, to say the very least, because it is a Miyazaki film. There's so much to unpack, and this is a non-spoiler review. So unlike a lot of the other Miyazaki episodes that have done for this podcast, this is a non-spoiler one. So you really have to experience this film for yourself to really appreciate it, and in some ways understand it, because, you know, even the premise that I gave for the film doesn't even get into, I think, half of what the film is about. Like I said, if you know me, you know that I love Miyazaki, you know I love Studio Ghibli, so I was super hyped for this film when they announced it back in, I think, 2018, I think, is how long this film is percolating, and just have been super excited for it, been waiting for the longest time, because, you know, it's Miyazaki, and a huge fan of his, and so I knew going into this film that I was going to love this film, because there's not been a film that of his that I didn't at least super like, if not love. I mean, even what would be at the bottom of the list of a Miyazaki film, I still thoroughly enjoyed. This one, you know, had high hopes, high expectations, and was not disappointed at all. I love this film. It is, like I said, there's so much to unpack, and I feel like that I need to watch this film multiple times to fully grasp it, and I think maybe that's kind of what Miyazaki was going for. From what I've heard, it's a very personal film, obviously because he wrote it. You know, there are elements of his life that are integrated in there. There are elements that you find from other works of his that are that you can see in there, and it's also just fresh and new. Like I said, for stuff that's been in, you know, previous films, definitely felt elements of Spirited Away, of My Neighbor Totoro, The Wind Rises, Princess Mononoke, Howl's Moving Castle. Definitely felt a lot of those elements in there, and then also just fresh stuff as well. I mean, there are themes in there of like the loss of his mother. You see that in several of his works. There's the young protagonist. There's the idea of loss. There's the idea of flight with a heron and with parakeets, which the parakeets thing is just wild, and like I said, you kind of have to experience that one for yourself to grasp that. There's just so much depth to the story. I mean, and it's interesting because it almost feels like a tale of two films. There's the grounded and rooted type film there, and then there's also the fantastical, magical, spectacular part of it as well. And the great thing about it is that they meld together. Like, they just kind of come together, and it's not something where it's a sharp left turn or just a hard turn that, you know, feels jarring or disjointed. It just, because it's a Miyazaki film, it just kind of flows into each other, and it just kind of comes together and feeds into each other, and just, it just blows you away. I mean, obviously the animation, which is a staple with Studio Ghibli films, is on par with anything that, you know, Miyazaki has done. And, you know, the fact that you've got, you know, present day animation with it being hand drawn and all these different things, it's just so surreal at times. The opening sequence with the fire in Tokyo, the only other time this year that I could even compare the animation was with Blue Giant. And some of the stylings of the animation there reminded me of that scene right there. And even then, that was just bonkers of just how just wild of how it was done. And truly, truly spectacular work, as always, with Miyazaki. It was just beautiful to see that animation on the big screen like that. The music, longtime collaborator, worked on this one as well, and it's probably some of his finest work that I've ever heard. The piano pieces were just spectacular, and they just fit right in with the narrative. It just melded together so well, just so well done. I saw it with the English dub, and I will definitely go back and watch the subtitled version to get the original feel of it. But the English dub cast was probably right up there as far as like the best dubbed cast, with Princess Mononoke and The Wind Rises. Those to me are probably the top two, going into this one, voice casts. And I feel like this one is right up there because it's got some veterans of Ghibli work like Christian Bale and Mark Hamill and William Dafoe. But it also has got new people like Robert Pattinson, who's the Grey Heron, Dave Bautista, who is the Parakeet King, which still just blows my mind that if you had asked me the last time a Miyazaki film had came out, that the next Miyazaki film would have Dave Bautista as part of the voice cast, I wouldn't have believed you. But he does a great job with his role here as well. Florence Pugh, just so many great actors and actresses here. Gemma Chan, another one, just great voice cast. And like I said, I would put it up there with Princess Mononoke and The Wind Rises as a elite voice cast for the English dub, and just well done. And like I said, I want to watch the subtitle version too, just to get the original feel of it as well. And I'm sure that it's just as well done. Top to bottom, this film is right up there with not only the best animated films of the year, I would dare say it's right up there with the best films of the year, period. I mean, I could argue, having recently seen Godzilla Minus One and now The Boy and the Heron, I could argue that the two best films in 2023 came out of Japan, with those two, because they are so well done and they're so great, not just for their genre, but just for the fact that they're just great films, period. I could argue that. They're so well done, so beautiful. And this one is right up there with the best Studio Ghibli films, the best Miyazaki films. I know that I need to see it multiple times just to, like I said, understand and grasp fully the narrative, to fully really grasp the themes, and just to really settle in on fully what my thoughts are. But just walking out of the theater, it was just such a beautiful film, and so well done, and so enjoyable, and so highly recommended. I hope that, you know, Miyazaki has one Oscar. I hope that this one gets him number two. I really seriously do. I feel like, and I've argued, you know, Howl's Moving Castle should have gotten him an Oscar to get him number two. I argued The Wind Rises for the longest time should have gotten him number two. And I feel like that this one definitely should get him number two, because I don't think anybody else really touches him animation-wise, story-wise, everything top to bottom. I feel like that he is, you know, elite and should get recognized for that. And I hope that when award seasons come, that he gets really his just, you know, praise and credit for this film, because it is one of his best, period, top to bottom. So if you get an opportunity, go see this film. It is definitely worth it. You will hopefully love it as much as I do. And if you are a Studio Ghibli fan, definitely highly recommend it. Go see it multiple times. Go see it subtitled and go see it dubbed. Just go check it out. Just go see it and share it around. And share that joy with others. Because, like I always say, that's what the Screen Nerds podcast is about, is loving film and sharing it with others. And hopefully you'll do that with this film. And when you do, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So if you get an opportunity, share your thoughts on this film or any film that you've been checking out of late. You can let me know your thoughts anytime by email, screennerdspodcast@gmail.com. You can always find us on Twitter at @ScreenNerdsPod and tweet your thoughts there. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and Blue Sky, just by searching Screen Nerds Podcast, hitting that like button, hitting that follow button, and sharing your thoughts there. And if you get an opportunity, please rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. We're on all the places that you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Good Pods, CastBox, Amazon Music, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. If you would, hit that subscribe button, leave a written review, leave a 5-star review, hopefully, and share the podcast around and let others know about the Screen Nerds podcast and about the community that we have here, about celebrating films, about loving films, and sharing that love with others. So again, thanks for joining me for this quick screen episode. My name is Michael Burgett, and we will catch you on the next episode.